Welcome to Local Matters. I'm in the studio with Judy Duke, and I'm in the studio because of Judy Duke. Judy Duke, who's been a great influence in my life since I was a young guy. The best way I could say it is simply that you gave me this talk show. There's no other way to put it than that.
I did.
You did.
Well, I retired from the talk show, and there you were.
Right.
So, but we have to give the radio station credit for talking with you, because you were on when it was my show.
Yes.
You were on my show.
Yeah, I was interviewed by you twice, and we had a great time. And I'm going to repeat a couple of things that we talked about then, though this is about you and not me. But I do want to refer to myself in as much as saying that, as a guy that had the opportunity to work in professional theater at a very young age, and I was touring, you know, by age 12.
You were.
And I was under originally the tutelage of the great director, Jerry Henderson, and I actually never got to see you act. But at about the same time that I saw The Graduate with Anne Bancroft, you know, I had been around you and knew that you were an actor. And what an actor is, or what does it take to be an actor, and what is an actor's personality like? You were the one that personified that. So rather than wanting to go off to Hollywood and get Anne Bancroft's signature, I just felt an ought to be in your presence. You have no idea that for me, the playing field in my mind was leveled. You were a consummate actor. So was Anne Bancroft. She happened to be in Hollywood. I happened to be lucky to be in the same town with you. You know, and I don't remember all the things you said or told me or encouraged me to do, but you certainly encouraged me to just be an actor and exemplified what a great actor is.
Well, now, I had the opportunity to see you on stage, and you were, if not the only one in my memory, that made me cry.
Oh.
So I kind of thought you were pretty special, too.
I just dug up the original scripts from that play. That was a play that the great Jerry Henderson was given funding for by an arts council to write in conjunction with the bicentennial, a summer that was coming up in 76. And it came out earlier than that. And it was a story that's based on life in rural Appalachia about a guy who comes back to his hometown. And I just looked at the clean copy I have of the script, and then I looked at mine with all my notes and cartoons on it. Of course, I was a cartoonist, as you knew, so I filled my own script with cartoons. But in it, there's the note, sad as you can be, sad as you can be, sad as you can be. That's the thing Jerry Henderson had to keep reminding me, because I wasn't naturally a sad kid or melancholy teenager. I was bubbling with happiness, and he had to get that out of me, you know, and get me to project sadness, you know. And great director. But for me, you have been a great actor, and you've done some of the greatest roles that actors have done on Broadway. And one of those is, I unfortunately didn't get to see it, but you did the effect of gamma rays on Man in the Moon Marigolds, which originally off Broadway had Susie Kurtz in 1970, and then on Broadway at the Biltmore had Shelley Winter. So then Judy Duke did it in, what was the year you did it?
Oh, I don't remember, Lewis. I don't.
But a great play, great acting.
Oh, fabulous role.
I'd given anything to see you in that.
I loved it. Oh, I had a blast. I did not, every actor, actress has to read the script, and they have to form their own opinion of the character.
Yes.
So in my mind, after reading that script a gazillion times, and I had already been cast, and I would guess it was in either the late 70s, early 80s. I'm guessing at that. I was the right age. Let me put it to you that way. I actually did it twice. Now, the first time I did it was with Marge Hargrove over at the Wesley Foundation, and Gail Luna played one of my daughters in the play. The character had a daughter. But anyway, I remember thinking, okay, this woman is so different from me. So I decided to not shave my legs for 6 weeks.
No kidding.
Yeah,
wow.
That was pretty gross back, you know.
Well, I mean,
at the time, I was a younger woman, and there was a lot of hair around my legs.
But there are actors that have done that for that very reason, to immerse themselves in the humanity.
And
that
I didn't smoke at that time, and she smoked all through the show.
And I'm actually holding, so let me hold this up for you, a photograph of you holding a cigarette in your hand. And this is dated 1982.
Okay, well, I did it. That was that's Andrea Chambers.
Mm-hmm.
like I said, I did it twice. Andrea and I did a cutting from it and took it into some kind of competition, and I don't remember who. I guess it was the Tennessee Theater Association.
It says the Middle Tennessee Theater Festival.
Okay, so, all right. We took it somewhere for Marge. I remember that now. It was a festival. I think it was in Nashville, but I don't remember.
So you worked under Marjorie Hargrove as
an
actor.
And Wesley Bostick and Jerry Henderson, all three of them.
For all of us that are local and have been around long enough to know, these were some of the great directors of that generation, and those that are hearing this as a podcast worldwide after it's broadcast locally and regionally need to know that Marjorie Hargrove was a person that brought theater to this town.
Pretty much.
She'd lived in New York City and came here and was... one of the central forces in making it happen, and did mostly musical theater. And
she
I never worked as a
couldn't carry a tune in a bucket herself.
Yeah, right, just let other people.
God
do it
bless
for her.
You, Marge.
but she could yell and direct in a way that would scare the
and
pants
she
off
knew
me.
She knew who to get to be her choreographer and to be her musical director.
That's great. That's
it was
what
the
it
people
takes.
She knew that she could call on to help make.
Right.
Her shows.
We're talking to Judy Duke today in the studio, and I have so much gratitude for being able to actually host this show because of the fact that she decided to retire and in some ways was influential in my hosting it. And again, you were so influential to me as a young person looking up to other actors to see how to work as an actor. And one of the people I look up to was Marjorie Hargrove. Now, I never worked in musical theater at all, and I only ever did a children's theater production of The Hobbit. But I knew Marjorie through the library, and my simple role, as you remember, I volunteered at the library starting at age 10, and all that I had to do for Marjorie Hargrove was make sure that I pulled the arts and leisure section out of the New York Times and hold it for her aside. And if I failed to do that and she showed up and I was 1 minute late with it, she would bark my head off, but also was one of those people that influenced me to move to New York City. I remember talking to her saying, I need advice. I don't know. I have an opportunity to go. Tell me what to do. And she just simply said, don't think about it at all, just do it, you know. And so therefore, when they did a living tribute when she was alive, and yes. I was asked to come back to speak at her tribute, one of the things that I quoted was what the angel says to George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life, and I can't quote it verbatim, but that's what I would say to you simply is that, you know, when people like you aren't around, it leaves a huge hole in life that we're not aware. When I think how different my life might have been if I hadn't met you all those years ago, you know. It would have been a different trajectory altogether, not one that I think would have been all that appealing. Well, but it's been all the better because of you.
Thank you. That's very kind of you.
So tell us about this character that you have that you also you utilize in a way to help the public for a nonprofit work that you've done. For years, you were at the Cookeville History Museum, and you have somebody that just comes from your soul, and I think from your ancestors, is she's either known as Aunt Maddie or Maddie Gooch.
She's known as both. Yeah. I refer to her as Aunt Maddie, but... The real name of the character is Aunt Maddie Gooch. And I started, actually, the way she came into being is she had been in my head since I was a little girl. Because she floated around up there, and I just knew there was an old woman in my head. That was all I knew. But anyway.
So you were an old soul, as they say, at a young age. Yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah. And now you're a young soul at an age that's not as young as you were. Not, we won't discuss your age, but.
Well, I don't mind. I'll be 29.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. I thought you were 26.
I don't mind. I don't mind telling you. I'll be 73.
Wow.
In September. And thankful to God that I'm still here.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm so thankful you're still here.
And I'm glad you've moved back home.
Well, thank you for saying that. It's been great coming back here again. And, you know, this will still be one of three homes, and I hope to stay here more than the other two. But I've always loved Cookeville, and I've always felt indebted to you for what you've done to help preserve history. And I can remember when my aunt started reconnecting me with you. You know, mm-hmm. I remember, you know, as a young teenager, looking up to you as this person who really was just in her 20s at the time.
Yeah,
you know,
young.
great actor. And then suddenly I'm hearing about Judy Duke, the director of the Cookeville History Museum. And at the time you were in a little wooden house, you know, across town
the Justice Center.
One match and that whole thing would have been gone. But you kept that
me
thing
included.
Going. Yeah, you included most probably. Yeah. He would have been asleep at the desk from
would
exhaustion.
Would have been upstairs. It'd have been no way we could have gotten out.
But you anyway. You did such great stuff. You've just been an essential part of Cookville for so long in ways that I can't even. We'd need 3 hours to talk about all of it. One of the things I've said to you before, and I'll say again, thank you for giving my aunt the opportunity to volunteer there because she wanted to be one of those people who, as we both know, knew more about Putnam County and Cookville history than almost anybody.
I miss her.
I do too.
I miss her, yeah. And I know you do. But yeah. I miss thinking, I need to call Jean Evelyn. That was a thought that frequented me when I was, you know, managing the museums, the depot, and she did.
Yeah.
If I had a history question, there were two people that I called. I always called Jean Evelyn, and she always had the answer.
Yeah.
And, she was one of a kind.
Well, she just her love of this community, and in many ways, I'm back in Cookville for that reason. You know, I'm back in Cookville. As I said to you on a show that you had me on to interview a couple of years ago, I'd like to preserve history, and I don't care whether my name is remembered or not. I just want the history itself to remain and resonate for years to come. And that's what she felt was important too, you know, preserving that history. And you allowed her to do that at the History Museum. And while I miss her, what's amazing is, and I'll show you some of this later, boxes and boxes and boxes of stuff that she intended to leave me that I had no idea. She kept 3 separate diaries, and I'll tell you about all those later. But it's in a way she's still here, you know. And,
she always will be.
She also left me a lot of stuff that I don't have the answers to. I recorded hours of conversation with her, and there are piles and piles of stuff that she literally is saying, "Game on! It's up to you to solve the mystery." And that's what she often did, as you did in researching history. Correct?
Right.
We're in the studio with Judy Duke, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes, and we're going to talk a lot more about your acting career, one that I followed for a long time. So we'll be back in a few minutes. Thanks.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
We are back in the studio for Local Matters with Judy Duke, whose roles vary from that of director of the Cookville History Museum for however many years you were there. But mostly my interest in talking to you today is to explore your work as an actor. I've been enamored by you as an actor, though I've never seen you on stage.
You might change your mind.
No, I just the roles you've done, I know, take a certain expertise and a level of a professionalism that that you happen to have. And as I was saying earlier in the segment, you know, you were just equal to Anne Bancroft in my mind. She just happened to
be
on film.
What a compliment. I love Anne Bancroft.
Well, you know, in any number of those, you know, any number of those actors, you know, when you did Effect of Gamma Rays on Man in the Moon, Marigolds, Susie Kurtz, Shelley Winters, you know, you were Susie Kurtz or Shelley Winters. I just was lucky that you lived in the same town that I did. I was 14 years old and I was around, you know, greatness, you know. And one of the characters I got a glimpse at, I think you did a little bit of Aunt Maddie, your character, when we did the benefit for the Cookville History Museum. Does that seem right? I've seen you do her somewhere. But anyhow, let's hear more about Aunt Maddie and how she got on stage at some point and out of your head as a child.
I was asked to be the hostess for a couples Sunday school teacher at my church. And I thought, that would be fun. I would enjoy doing that. They were wanting to roast him. You know, that used to be the popular thing, roast somebody.
Yeah.
He was going to take a little sabbatical, so to speak, from teaching for a while. And they asked me if I would be the hostess. So I told him I would. And
you were kind of like the Dean Martin celebrity host.
You
were the MC.
Yeah,
there you were. Of course
right
you were.
So I was laying awake at night thinking, okay, I need to put together my thoughts on what to say and how to lead into introducing all these guys that were going to do this roast him. And he was a very well-known businessman here in town. It just occurred to me, I don't want to do it as myself. I'm going to bring this little lady that's been in my head all these years. I'm going to bring her to life. So I got to going through, and I have had a collection of many, and I gave it to the Cookeville Performing Arts Center, my collection of wigs, except for a few. And I'm hanging on to a few still, so my family can donate them wherever they choose to. But anyway, I had a wig. I had two wigs, and they were white hair. Anyway, so got that, and I got a suit. Ugliest yellow suit I've ever seen. And I wore that, and I put my let my petticoat show just a smidgen, and I found a hat that was somewhat matched the yellow and somewhat didn't. But anyway, that's when she first came to life.
I'm holding up a photograph of her.
That was much longer, much years after that first one.
You never sat in my lap like you did with the guy in this photo, but we'll come back to that.
He was a cutie. He was at Baxter High School back then. And Joy McCaleb, God bless her, was a former student of mine when I taught a speech at Tech. And Joy and I got to be good friends. But anyway, that was her first appearance.
I see.
And then after that, word of mouth, which is your best advertisement.
Yes.
Word of mouth got around, and I started getting calls here in Cookeville. Would you come and do such and such? Would you come and do this? And Al Enitz at First Realty, I have to give him credit, asked me to come and do a program for all of his agents, a party type thing. A Valentine for all of his agents, and it was at the old Holiday Inn on Jefferson. So I go, and he says, how much do I owe you? Well, I was flabbergasted. I had no idea that anybody would pay for what I was doing, and I was making stuff up in my head, and I eventually came to, I have a whole life of her in my head, and I use it in my shows. I don't use it all the time, the same ones, but I made up a whole life for Aunt Mattie Gooch.
Wow.
And so when it was time for Judy to get up, I went dressed as her.
Yeah.
I didn't talk to anybody. I ate my supper. I didn't sit with my husband, Dwight. And so they were mumblings I could tell going on with some people, and somebody came up, and I could hear, and they whispered to Dwight, where's Judy? And he says, well, she'll be here. But it just kind of stalled. Of course, I'm sitting right where I could hear this. Anyway, I finally just stood up and said something to the effect, the Duke woman is not dependable and that you could not depend on her. And I knew it. So I was the man that we were roasting's aunt, Mattie.
Oh, that's great.
That's how that came to
be. That's wonderful.
And then when my aunt died, you know the poem, Old Women Wear Purple?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I right then knew that I had to have all of my costumes made, and if they didn't have purple in them, they had some shade of purplish stuff, little purple flowers in the picture you have there, and the hat, and all of the material except for one of her dresses came from my Aunt Bonnie, who was a hoarder of polyester material.
Oh, that's great.
And when she died, it's a very personal character. When she died, I got to go through all of that, and it was her hat. And I hosted a fundraiser for the Leukemia Society and wore the purple hat.
That's great.
And it lost its... I took all the silverware up, Lewis. And they had to pay me $20 for a fork. I raised more money than anybody for the Leukemia Society that year.
I can just see that. Yeah,
I did it. Sure. They could. Yeah. There were no condiments that felt like now,
right.
You know, when we go out because of the virus. But anyway... I got hit in the face with a whipped cream pie.
No.
And it ruined the hat, but I liked it. And so I just kept it. And I still wear it to this day. Now I wear different, and the shawl. And she collects pins. I have a whole drawer of pins that I can't get on the shawl.
Oh.
I've taken them off of very important people, which we won't mention. But I have. People notice it and when I do a program now, I mention how that came to be.
We are in the studio with Judy Duke, and these stories are so wonderful, and they speak to the fact that, as I said, I've always looked up to you as this great actor, and it's that you're bringing people to life. And I would assume
she's clean fun.
She is, yeah.
She doesn't. If she gets risque, she really doesn't. But she might push the envelope a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
If it's an all female group, yeah. Which I do a lot of women's conferences and stuff like that.
I could see that.
I do. She talks about getting old.
I would also have to assume that, you know, based on, you know, we have such rich personalities as we go back in history, you know, in time. I mean, I think people were even odder than some of us seem to be odd now. And Aunt Maddie is probably this combination of all those odd aunts and grandmas.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Everybody has an Aunt Maddie. I have to give my daddy, God love him. He died when I was relatively young, and it just broke my heart because I was so close to him. But he and I, when I was a little girl, used to go to Nashville with my mother, and my mother was never on time to anything.
Oh.
And I'll be back here in an hour, I promise. And she'd take off, and Daddy and I would sit in the Kane Sloan department, which was a big department store on Church Street in Nashville at the time, in their shoe department, because you went in the front door of the department store, and it was two or three stories, and the shoe department was on the first floor. And my daddy was always a people watcher. He never said anything to me as long as I was little, but we were still doing that when I was in high school, and he knew my love for theater, and you know, he knew I'd been bitten by the
acting bug.
Yes.
As they always call it. Yeah.
The acting bug, and it was, I was in love with it. But anyway, he would say to me, "Do you see how that woman's walking? Of course, we didn't. You see how that girl's chewing her chewing gum?" It were little things like that that he would say to me, and I all through my life. And he died in 76. And from then on, ever since I was a little girl, those things that Daddy would say to me about people helped me to become a people watcher. So a lot of my characterizations, I can pick my own brain.
Yeah.
How would this character walk? How would they talk? How would they sit?
You were studying acting all along. You know, you get to an acting school in a bigger place like New York City.
I had plans to go to New York City.
Well, you know, I mean, and in some ways, I'm thankful that you didn't go early. You know, that I got to be around you because, again, you were such a great influence. But
I'd probably been a waitress somewhere.
Slash actor, as they say. Yeah, you know, you definitely would have been great, and you would have been fun with the customers. You would have made great tips. You know,
I might have stayed there.
Yeah, you would have started with extra work and in a film and pushed your way right to the front of the crowd.
I don't know about that, Lewis. I don't know. That God had other plans for me.
No, I agree, and thank God they turned out the way they did, you know. But, you know, a lot of actors now, when they'll go to take on a new role, will go and immerse themselves in a culture or be around there are a lot of actors that have never been to the Southeast at all and couldn't pull off an Aunt Maddie like you could, you know. Couldn't do the accent, for starters, you know.
I've traveled, though, all over the United States, from Seattle, Washington to Daytona Beach, Florida. I mean, I've been all over.
Yeah.
I had two agents, and I booked myself too.
That's great.
So I only have one agent now, plus myself.
Yeah.
But I don't do her as much. I've almost become her.
Yeah.
And so I have become, I don't wear the white wigs anymore. I don't have to.
You don't suppose years from now, after you're gone, there'll be somebody creating a character called Aunt Judy Duke?
Well, probably.
Never do.
Oh, my goodness. That would be. Mm-mm.
I've never done drag, but as an actor, if I get around 70 and decide I want to get back into acting, I'll do drag and I'll do Aunt Judy Duke.
Aunt Judy Duke. There you go, Lewis. I give you permission to do that.
You know, I wanted to talk to you about one of your other roles that was also done by a famous actress by the name of Jessica Tandy, who did Foxfire on Broadway in 82, and you did Foxfire as well. So another great
That was another great role. Yeah. I loved that role. Kim Frick-Wilker directed it, and her husband at the time, Bruce Wilker, played my husband. And I loved that. I absolutely love that show. Yeah. It's based on the book series.
Yes.
Foxfire, which there was an English teacher in the hills of Georgia, in northern Georgia, who had his class go out and interview and tape them on tape recorders, their lives and how they lived their lives as the mountain people in Georgia and all that. And then Jessica Tandy and Hume Crone, her husband, wrote the Foxfire play.
Right. And then there was music with it.
Yes.
And, you know, that's one of many roles you've done. And you've got to come back for a second visit because we're out of time. And I'd love to have Judy Duke back in the studio for Local Matters. Hope to see you again soon.
I hope to see you soon. And thanks for having me.
Absolutely.